August 26th, harmony class, Stuttgart, Germany.
First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipful Diksha Gurudev. Nichalila Pravishta Om Vishnu Pad Astodara Satshishimat Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipful Shiksha Gurudev. Nichalila Pravishta Om Vishnu Pad Astodara Satshishimat Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. To all of our Guru Vaga and all the assembled devotees. So I'm very happy to see you all. I hope I can remember how to give a class. It's been so fun. I was asking Sachi Devi what she thinks you might all like to hear about. And she said to explain any bhajans. So I thought that's a nice thing to do. And I chose two bhajans. One starts from the top. And then many times I've been with Srila Gurudev all around the world. And he would give classes about how to meditate while chanting japa and chanting, singing, how a pure devotee or a person approaching pure devotion will meditate on how, as they're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and meditating on how Uddhava came to Vrindavan, and first he saw that everyone was experiencing Krishna's association, and the bulls were fighting for a cow, and people were throwing yogurt at each other and having fun, and they were making cow dung patties and chanting to Krishna. Everything was joyous, and then in the next moment the curtain fell down and he saw everybody weeping in separation from Krishna, how even the bumblebees were rolling on the ground, weeping, the birds couldn't sing, Mother Yasoda was in her kitchen but not cooking, but lying against the wall, her eyes all in their sockets, that is, deep sockets, she'd gone blind. The pots were overturned and collecting cobwebs, because who was there to cook for now that Krishna went to Mathura? So he would speak about these high topics just to whet our appetite. And then towards the end of the class he'd say, so now come down to the beginning, where we're going to begin from, in order to be able to consistently meditate like that and even enter those very beautiful pastimes to the point where we weep, which is the goal of life. Weeping is the process and weeping is the result. So I thought we'd spend a few minutes on a high song and then a song which starts us from where we are and how to get there. So first, I was hearing you also very beautifully singing Madhurastakam. Adharam, Madharam, Bhadanam, Madharam. So many sweets. That is, Krishna's lips are sweet, his face is sweet, his eyes are sweet, his smile is sweet. So what is the deep meaning of this? First, when we were with Srila Gurudev in Australia, he said that Srimati Radhika is singing this song when Krishna is in Mathura. She's singing in great separation. But when we sing it, that is, she's not singing in happiness, oh, Krishna's eyes are sweet, but when remembering the beloved and his pastimes, and he's not there, then it becomes like a poison. Then it becomes, we were so happy in our homes before Krishna began playing his flute, and then when he played it, now we're just like birds in the forest weeping, we have no home, like birds out of their nests. So remembering that is bringing sadness. But of course, that sadness is another kind of ecstasy. Just like here, meeting and separation, one seems to be sadness and one seems to be happiness, but they're both different sides of sadness, because there's no real happiness in this world. Nobody's ever satisfied with anything. Yeah, it was good, but in the spiritual world, both the happiness and distress are two sides of ecstasy, and separation even brings a greater sense of meeting, because all external things are forgotten and one is fully absorbed in the beloved, in a deeper ecstasy than when meeting and forgetting the inner feelings. So, one side is that Srimati Radhika is singing and remembering. But on the other side, when we're singing it, of course, the more we know about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the more we can remember different pastimes in Venu Geet, in Brahma Geet, where she's remembering things about him, and with a certain kind of lamentation, a certain kind of humility, a certain kind of anger. Like in Brahma Geet, when she's remembering Krishna's pastimes, and then remembering Krishna's leaving, then she remembers, oh yes, we heard from Purnamasi that Krishna was the same way in his previous lives as he is now, black on the outside and black on the inside. I remember when he was Ram. But Purnamasi told me that he was Ram. If he was Ram, then he was the same way that he is now with us. Because Ram also was very cruel. That is, somebody came to him with amorous desires and he cut off her nose and ears. There was a monkey that he couldn't even kill face to face. He had to hide behind a tree and shoot his arrows First of all, who kills a monkey? And secondly, as a coward from behind a tree. I heard also from Purnamasi that in his previous birth he was Vamandev. He was the same cheater. Bali Maharaj was willing to give him everything. And what did he do? He tied him with a rope and sent him to the lower regions. So you don't have to tell us anything about that, Krishna. We know all about him. Just like we quote the Puranas, you know the Puranas, Itihasya, the ancient histories. So when Radharani is speaking in separation, remembering Krishna's sweetness, but then his cruelty in leaving, then she said, nobody can tell us about Krishna. This is Purana. This is old story for us. Lakshmi, she might have some faith in him, but what does she know? She rides on an owl sees in the nighttime when there's nothing to see, it's black, and its eyes are closed in the daytime. She has no real knowledge of Krishna, so in foolishness, she has some faith in him. But we're much more intelligent than her. So remembering everything sweet about him, or she may be thinking, like in this picture of, it's called Radha Alone. What is she thinking there? Krishna came to me, begging for mercy, with his sweet smile, his sweet glancing, his sweet appeal, his sweet humility, and I rejected him. So therefore, what use is my youth, my beauty, my ornaments, my opulent dress, if Krishna's not here to enjoy it? So on one level, we can see it as, from her point of view, because ultimately, that's our ultimate goal, to see and feel from her point of view. In her happiness being happy, and her sadness being sad. If Krishna is defeated by her being happy, if she's defeated, and that can only be by cheating on Krishna's behalf, then we feel defeated. So that's our goal. And now, singing it on our from our point of view, how do we see it so that we can gradually come to see things from her point of view? To see this, although only Krishna is mentioned, she's not mentioned. Is she mentioned? Is Srimati Radhika mentioned? Do you see her name? Maybe once. His gopis are sweet. Once. But Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai, Shishi Gornatai Ki Jai, Shikiri Raj Govardhan Ki Jai, Shina Shringa Bhagwan Ki Jai. So it seems like the gopis are only mentioning once, and this is a thorough description of Krishna. But it's not at all like that. Because when we, who are desiring to become Rupa Nuga Bhaktas, what does Rupa Nuga mean? What?
Then the line of Rupa Goswami,
but what is the line of Rupa Goswami?
Manjari.
Oh, line of Rupa Goswami and Rupa Manjari, to become a Manjari.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes. And the line of Rupa Goswami and all of the Acharyas who are following him, what they are oceans of, and what they pretend that their aspiration is, that's our aspiration, to become Manjaris.
Well, they pretend their aspiration is because it's not their aspiration because they've already, they eternally attained it.
Right, because they are already oceans of it. And that's what, that's the meaning of Ashraya Snigda, Ashraya Swajatiya Snigda, taking the association and shelter of those who are oceans of the mood that we aspire to and who are very affectionate to us. So, in order to keep with that desire and to follow the to be situated in the mission for which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, that is, he had the internal mission of tasting Srimati Radhika's moods, and the external mission towards the world of giving the fortunate living entities her service. So in order to attain that perfect mercy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came specifically to give, here's how we can see it, and here's how we meditate. So his lips are sweet, his face is sweet, his eyes are sweet. Let's start from that group. Why? Because he has some connection with Srimati Radhika. Srila Gurudev often explains, and this conversation is going to be, not this what I'm saying, but there's a conversation that's going to be in the next workbook that comes out, hopefully in Kartik, the 2007 Morning Walks book, that Srila Gurudev is on a walk, and then he sits down, and Sri Padmini Maharaj sits down next to him and begins asking about how to reconcile the statement that without Srimati Radhika, Krishna is zero. And yet, as we were discussing last few weeks ago, as it's stated in the Jiva Dharma, Krishna has his own free will. He has his manliness, his purushita, the fact that he's the supreme male. He has independence. So how to reconcile that he has his own qualities, but that he's nothing without Srimati Radhika. And that's because he's never without Srimati Radhika, and that's why he has his qualities. If she's not outside of him, she's always inside of him. As his Swarup Shakti, his complete, supreme, all-accommodating, inconceivable power, which fulfills his desires, that his own form is manifest, all of his incarnations' forms are manifest, all of their abodes and pastimes are manifest, the world of the jivas or the living entities is manifest, and this material world is also manifest. All that is possible by this Achintya Swarup Shakti, who was personified as Srimati Radhika. So on the level of tattva, as his Shakti within, there's one statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna experiences bliss, he tastes bliss, he is the embodiment of bliss, and he gives bliss to others. The cause of all these three is Ladini Shakti. So she's always within him, but then she also comes outside of him. They're one, Shakti and Shaktiman, or the energetic and the energy, but they come out and become two for pastimes. So by tattva, he's never without her, because without power, what are you? Powerless, nothing. And by rus, or by mellow taste of relationships, he's always with her. If he's not with her externally, by rus, then he's always with her internally. Why did he go to Mathura and marry 16,000 queens? Because they have some resemblance to Srimati Radhika and her friends. Why did he go to Mathura and stay with his parents, who weren't really his parents, but were only the parents of his expansion? Because only to make Radharani happy, and to think that he could be happy to make Radharani happy, knowing that whenever she was, or oftentimes, when she would experience his separation, she would experience his presence more than when he was with her. And even if he was not there, she would chastise a cloud, "Oh Krishna, I don't want to have any more relationship with you." So seeing that everything was backwards with her, when he was there, she would weep that he's gone. When he wasn't there, she would embrace a tamal tree or chastise a cloud, and eat very happily, dress very happily. So he's thinking, if I go forever, then she'll forever feel my presence. But it wasn't like that at all. There's mistakes also in Goloka Vrindavan, but those mistakes are also perfect. And here all perfection is full of mistakes too. So, he's sweet because of her. It's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that she and her expansion gopis, her associates, her confidants, they have a mirror in their hearts which is always seeing Krishna in newer and newer ways, sweeter and sweeter ways. That is within their hearts. Krishna is always getting sweeter and sweeter, even if he looks the same. They're always seeing him in newer and newer ways. At the same time, Krishna himself is also increasing in his ever fresh newness and sweetness and beauty and qualities. So there's a competition between Krishna and the mirror in Radharani's and the gopis' hearts. So everything is sweet. There's a Venu Geet picture here. Why are Krishna's eyes sweet? Because they're always searching for Radharani. You see in the Venu Geet painting that, according to Gurudev's description, that he's playing with the coward boys and the cows, but he's always searching, especially for someone particular. And his sidelong glances, searching for that person and keeping that person in his heart, makes his eyes more beautiful, because he's connected with her, who is Sarva Lakshmi Mayi. That is, she is the embodiment or the personification of all of his opulences, including his beauty. So he would have no beauty or sweetness without her. Now, all the other rasas, now, what's the difference between rasa and rasa? Anybody? Taste and mellow, good guess. Oh, that's one.
Yeah, one and dance.
Which is which?
Rasa is the dance, and rasa is the taste.
Rasa is the dance, and rasa is the taste of relation, mellow relationship. Okay, so all the other rasas, short A, come from Madhurya Ras, as stated in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Janmadi Asa Yataha. Janmadi Asa means Janma Adi Ras. The Adi Ras is Madhurya Ras, and all of the rasas come from Madhurya Ras. So Vatsalya Ras comes from Madhurya Ras. It's a portion, plenary portion. And Sakya Ras comes from Madhurya Ras. Everything that's there in Sakya Ras is also in Madhurya Ras plus. Everything that's there in Vatsalya Ras is there in Madhurya Ras plus. Same thing with Dasya Ras. There's more Dasya in Madhurya. Radharani also cooks, but with the addition of Madhurya, just like Mother Yasoda does. So he's most sweet in the association of Radharani and the gopis, and most sweet in the association of Radharani. And conversely, without her, he's nirvishesh brahma. He has no qualities. I was once arguing with Gurudev back in the 90s. That was out in Kartik. We were out in some forest. And I said, but Krishna has a form, even without Radha. So Gurudev said, well, a rock also has a form, but no qualities. So his smile is sweet with the coward boys. It's sweet with Mother Yasoda, but it's most sweet with Radharani. His movements are sweet. Why? Because of his intoxication with Srimati Radhika. His flute is sweet. Why? Because the heart of the gopis has entered, specifically Radharani, has entered Krishna's heart. And it's coming out as his heart, which is filled with Srimati Radhika and the gopis, is coming out in the form of his flute playing, which further attracts the gopis, which further intoxicates Krishna. His feet are sweet because they have the kumkum of Srimati Radhika and the gopis on them. So in this way, one after another, we can, while singing this, we can remember qualities and pastimes. And thus our singing, this is just like one example of what we can do with a song. All songs are like this. All songs, there's so much to think about. And then we don't have to be dragged down by the illusory energy and think of, how do I look? How do I sound? Am I being appreciated? Am I singing being appreciated? Somebody just insulted me, and how can I get back? Vainer Madhura, Vainer Madhura. So Srila Gurudev is so kind that for all of his years he's giving so many deep meanings and things to think about with the bhajans. So his pastimes are sweet. Even when he's with the coward boys, he's thinking of the gopis. He's thinking of Srimati Radhika. Also, he's full of love. Because of Radhika, he has love for the coward boys, love for the calves. Calves he takes on his lap and massages them. The cows he lovingly puts water or ghee on his fingers, and lovingly milks the cows and caresses the cows every morning. So in that way. Any questions on this before we go to the next bhajan? Okay, then we'll go to the next bhajan. So now we jump back to 23, and I often hear you, well, 23 in the yellow book, and I often hear you sing so beautifully this song, Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya Kora E Dasi. Oh Gurudev, give me a drop of your mercy. Make this servant of mine more humble than a blade of grass. So what does it mean, more humble than a blade of grass? If I step on grass, then grass pops up. But more humble than a blade of grass is not popping up. More humble than a blade of grass is honoring even the grass, thinking that even the grass is worth my honor. There was one in a previous morning walk that was already published, 2008 or 2009, this conversation with Srila Gurudev and his entourage after his walk He would always have a discussion with his entourage, his servants, his secretaries, those who were working on his books and traveling with him. And he said, what is the meaning of this verse? And he would give the verse, which was the definition. Oh, in fact, I think I have it here. It's the definition of a Kanista Adhikari. Well, maybe it's here. He would give the the verse regarding Kanista Adhikari, which is what? What's that verse? Anybody would like to contribute that? That he worships the deity in the temple. Yes. Archayam eva hadaye pujam yak shadaye yate natad bhakte shuchanyesu sa bhakta prakrita smrita. A devotee who faithfully engages in worshiping the deity in the temple, but does not behave properly towards other devotees or people in general, is called a prakriti bhakta, a materialistic devotee, and is considered to be in the lowest position. So Gurudev said, okay, it's obvious that one should respect devotees, but why does this verse, he's asking his entourage, but why does this verse say that the lowest kind of devotee has no respect for ordinary people? Why, if he's a devotee, should he have respect for ordinary people, ordinary non-devotees? Anybody like to venture a guess? Why should he? Nobody could answer it there. Huh?
I think everybody should be respected. Why? Because Buddha's Shakti is in this jiva.
Paramatma, Krishna and
Radharani is Shakti.
Right.
Also, it's a sign of humility, you know, giving respect to others.
But why non-devotees? They don't have any respect for Krishna. Why should I respect them?
By their essence.
Huh? You gave the right answers. Gurudev quoted, although a Vaishnava is most exalted person, he is prideless and gives all respects to everyone, knowing that everyone is the resting place of Krishna. So here in this song, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, please make this servant. I don't have the ability myself, because by nature I'm very proud and puffed up, being a Kanista Adhikari if I'm lucky. So Gurudev, you please give me that power. What power? To think myself more humble than a blade of grass. It's stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the qualities of non-violence. Qualities of non-violence is to tell everyone about Krishna, and here we come to preaching to everyone, because Krishna is everywhere. He's in everyone's heart. So we want to tell everybody at all times about Krishna. Yes? Yeah.
How is it possible that somebody...
Loud.
How is possible that somebody is humble, lower feels lower than grass, and at the same time he feels empowered to be?
To be what?
To be and act and have power to act.
Oh, and in his devotional activities.
Devotional, whatever activities, yeah.
Well, hopefully he's only doing devotional activities and not mayic activities.
Anyhow, normal person as we are, more or less, there are people who are 100% engaged in bhakti, there are people that are also in normal society, dealing with things.
Oh, so they have
generally,
some expertise in
generally,
something.
How we can deal to be humble and at the same time also have power.
To do anything properly. Good question. Knowing that I'm not the cause of it.
Yes.
Knowing that my Gurudev is the cause of any devotional power that I have
and
my
to
ability.
Be it without going to the other extreme with false ego, I'm nothing. Because also nothing is also false ego to tell I'm nothing.
One time my godbrother Satsvarup, he was a young brahmachari, and he was trying to show Prabhupada his humility. So he said, "Oh Prabhupada, I'm nothing." So Prabhupada said, "You're something, but not much." So, whatever, if I give credit for any ability that I have to my Gurudev, and also to think that I'm not very good at it, and if there is any goodness, it's due to my Gurudev. Like, I was once with Srila Gurudev in Vrindavan, and he said, suppose you're giving a class, this was a little darshan, when he had his room up by the deities, by the Sevakunj deities, he said, suppose you're giving a class, and then at the end of the class, somebody gives you $100 donation, and then you think, yeah, that was a pretty good class, I can see why I got that donation. And so I keep the money because it was because of my good class. Then he said, you'll fall down and lose everything. But if I think, if there was anything good in the class, it was due to my Gurudev, and I give him the money that somebody gave you a donation. Or I may think, even if it wasn't a good class, my Gurudev somehow came through and he's experiencing my Gurudev's mercy despite me. So all the credit goes to my Gurudev. And Krishna is living in the heart of everyone. So here's the answer here. Seeing Krishna in everyone's heart, even though, what is that? Gurudev quoted that verse. Even the highest devotee, Uttama, although a Vaishnava is the most exalted person, he's prideless and gives all respect to others, knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna. And then Gurudev commented, Krishna is everywhere, whether or not we are aware of it. Therefore, we honor even a blade of grass. An Uttama Adhikari thinks, everyone is engaged in Krishna's service, even the ant. Simply, I cannot engage. Knowing how great Krishna is, how great my Gurudev is, and what am I doing? Once Gurudev was speaking to my godbrothers back in the early 90s, and he said, you may think, oh, my Gurudev, Prabhupada, he went to 50 countries, and I've gone to 62 countries. And you may think that you're so great. But when you compare yourself actually to all the great acharyas in our line, then you see that you're nothing. Before comparison, you can think that you are something. Does that help a little bit? Or not?
Okay. Yeah.
Something to think about.
Yes, I take it.
Okay, then give me the strength to tolerate all eventualities. I was hearing Kanayalal Prabhu's class, or some of it, yesterday, and he was saying how can we always be happy, that even if something apparently bad comes, if I know that Krishna's behind it, Krishna says I'm immortality and death personified, fear and fearlessness both come from Krishna, and I see Krishna behind it, and Krishna's always wanting to do good to me, and my Gurudev is always wanting to do good to me. and I see my Gurudev in all things that happen to me, then I can easily tolerate all eventualities. Knowing Tatenu Kampam Su Sumikshamanam, Su Sumikshamanam means saying something very well, that whatever I've gotten, say some suffering, I deserve much worse. But because of my Gurudev, Krishna's making it very little. I deserve to have a cut arm, cut off arm, and instead I get a little cut finger. Let me not hanker for my own honor and fame. If one is prideless and not hankering for honor and fame, giving the credit where credit is due, Krishna says that I am the ability in all man, for example. Or knowing, like I asked Gurudev, suppose I distribute a book, and I'm not thinking, wow, I'm so great I distributed a book, but, oh, there was a book I just distributed. Who actually distributed the book? So Gurudev replied, Gurudev distributed it. You cannot do anything. Gurudev said, if you have a preaching center and you're proud that I'm running this preaching center well, he said, it all becomes useless without giving credit to Gurudev. Give me the power to honor all living entities according to what they are due. Okay, so there are three. There's ordinary living entities, who, as we're just discussing in this song, we're praying to have respect even for the grass, what to speak of ordinary non-devotees who are humans. And as I was mentioning from the Bhagavad Gita, non-violence means to tell others about Krishna. Prabhupada is explaining in this explanation of these qualities like non-violence, 24, the good qualities of the devotee. If one cannot tell someone about Krishna, that's violence. If one does not tell someone about Krishna, that's violence. Or even if I feel I don't know anything and the person I'd like to hear, let's say I'm on the line of a supermarket, and I may be feeling shy at the moment, then if I just chant out loud and the person hears it, then that's non-violence. Like you did a very beautiful activity yesterday afternoon, non-violent activity, non-violent communication, of going out and chanting and purifying and giving cards to all those, that big mob that was out down the street yesterday. So there are three kinds of devotees. Here, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, on our behalf, is praying, give me the power to honor all according to what they are due. So there are three, there are so many different levels of devotees, but there are three, you could break it down into three. Kanistha, Madhyama, and Uttama. Kanistha Adhikari, we just read his qualities. He worships the deities and has faith in the deities, but he doesn't respect others. He doesn't respect devotees and he doesn't respect ordinary people. His is the lowest class of devotee.
Is it because he thinks he's a very high devotee?
That's why he doesn't respect others? He's absorbed in his self. Therefore, Lord Kapiladev, he says that because Krishna is in everyone, Lord Kapiladev says, therefore, through charitable gifts and attention, like Krishna's books, prasadam, harinam, cards, pictures of Krishna, charitable gifts and attention, as well as through friendly behavior, and by viewing all to be alike. One should propitiate me or please me, who abide in all creatures as their very self. So I'm praying to Gurudev, please give me the power to honor all according to what they're due. So the Kanista Adhikari, Srila Rupa Goswami says, to respect him at least within the mind. I don't have to surrender to him. But then again, there's one section in the Harmony book called Srila Gurudev on Good Communication. I was just coming up and down the stairs about a half hour ago and listening to a very nice conversation between Kanayalal Prabhu and Rasesri Didi. And in their conversation, they were doing this, what Gurudev said is good communication. That is, he said, if, well, let me say how he began it. He was giving a course, or about to give a course. It was the first day of a course in Bhakti Tattva Vivek in Badger. So on the first day, he said, first, I'm going to tell you something without applying which you won't be able to understand any of this course. Bhakti Tattva Vivek means the deliberation on the truth of bhakti. So without understanding and applying this, what I'm going to tell you now, you won't understand any of the philosophy that I'm going to tell you. That is, if you're very arrogant, thinking, I'm always right, everyone should listen to me, I'm right to the highest extent, then, and you're so proud and arrogant, then you'll be like the top of the mountain. And when the rain comes, it doesn't stay on the tippy top of the mountain, but it rolls off and goes to the bottom and stays there. He said, so if you're arrogant and proud, and not giving respect to others, and not communicating properly with others, not hearing others, then all this nectar, the nectar shower of Harikatha, will roll right off of you and remain with those who are humble. Okay, so what example did he give? He quoted Trinadapi Sunichena, just as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying here to Gurudev. Please let me feel myself lower than the grass. More just like we see Kanayalal Prabhu. He's the president of the temple, big president, but he's the one who's serving prasadam. And Mahaprabhu's, of course others are, but he also is. Does anybody want more? And he brings more. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's biggest whips were distributing the prasadam to the other devotees. So thinking that I'm the servant and all others are my masters. So Gurudev is saying, Trinadapi Sunichana Tarorapi Sahishnana, being also more tolerant than the tree. Even somebody who comes down to hatchet the tree, to cut down the tree, that tree is prepared to give its everything. Its bark, its roots, its fruits, its leaves, its flowers, its everything. Donates everything. Everything about the tree is for others. So Gurudev said, suppose you're going into a conversation with somebody. If you're thinking, you don't know anything, you should listen to me, then I'm not following this verse. But if I hear from the other person, what are his happinesses and distresses? What is he trying to say? What does he need me to understand about his view? And if I conceal my view and hear his view first and understand his view, Gurudev said, and then together you figure out what to do, what's the best thing to do. He said, if we don't do this, we don't engage in conversations in this way, then it is not called Sangha. It's something else, but it's not, hey, I'm going to have a Sangha with somebody. It's not Sadhu Sangha, or it's not any kind of Sangha. Then he's praying. Oh, so then there's Kanista. So at least even if he's a Kanista, I'm hearing one of the qualities of good teamwork that all the big $1,000 companies that became billion-dollar companies have written down is that the team always trying to help each other, the team members, and learning for each other. Assisting and learning. Not thinking that I'm everything. So, I respect the Kanistha Adhikari within the mind. I cooperate with, offer my obeisances with my body to the second class intermediate devotee and certainly hear from them and learn from them and assist them. And even if I'm giving knowledge and information, I'm thinking of it as a service. So, not that if somebody doesn't want to hear me, I insist that I'm doing my service to you. You have to hear from me. And you have to listen to what I'm saying. But inquiring and seeing and making it a two-way conversation. And then the Uttama Adhikari, for him I give my head. Prabhupada once said, I'm prepared to jump in the fire if my Gurudev, who is an Uttama Adhikari, tells me to do that. He said, then, if I can treat these three Adhikaris, and again, there's multi-million stages, Kanistha Kanistha, Majjhima Kanistha, Uttama Kanistha, Kanistha Majjhima, Majjhima Majjhima, Majjhima Uttama, so many different. So, how do I know? One thing that makes it easy is to think that everybody's better than me. At the same time, here might be another question you might ask, how to reconcile. How to feel like I'm the servant of everybody, but at the same time, not accept bogus statements that are against Siddhanta. There was once a disciple of Ramanujacharya, Srila Gurudev tells this story. He knew everything. He knew all the scriptures. He could quote everything backwards and forwards. And he knew it. So he was very proud, puffed up. So his Gurudev thought, he needs an operation. So in the meantime, he had a daughter, a lady disciple, who was with him since her youngstership. And then when she got married, she went to her Gurudev, Ramanujacharya, and said, oh Gurudev, my in-laws are so terrible. They make me carry these big buckets of water up these big long hills and have to work day and night. Can't you give me a servant, Gurudev? So he gave her this disciple who was puffed up. And the disciple had so much loyalty to his Gurudev that he went and became the servant. Gurudev said, these days, if I would tell any of my disciples to do that, to go and serve some girl and her in-laws, then they would put on the internet, bogus guru, don't follow this guru. But he was humble enough to follow his Gurudev's instructions, even though he was proud of his scholarship. So the thing is that he kept working all day and night on the order of the in-laws. They wouldn't even give him soap. So he had all these old, worn and torn clothes. They wouldn't even let him shave or bathe. And everybody thought he was a scrubby nothing. Scrubby nothing. So one day this big Mayavadi pandit came into town. And everybody thought, oh, how great, beautiful, scholarship. And they went to his class, and he was speaking all kinds of Mayavadi nonsense. And then very politely, this disciple, Ramanujacharya, said, may I say something? And then some people said, him? Don't let him talk, he's a scrubby nothing. But the more cultured and educated persons in the audience says, why not? Let him speak. And then with great respect, he spoke so beautifully that everybody kicked out that other person, the bogus person. And they went to Ramanujacharya and said, why are you doing this to him? And then so then he thought, yes, the operation is a success. And he brought back the disciple, and his disciple became a great preacher for him. So one way is to think that everybody's better than me, but also, how will I know? So then here it is. I pray to Gurudev, please, because you can make everything happen. Please make me like you are, without any desires, without any ambitions. Make me one with you, make me one with your heart. Whenever another thing about the bhajans, we're singing. What time is this class over?
Yeah.
It's coming to an end. What time?
Six. Okay.
So when will I be benedicted by your mercy and be successful in my life? Please take my soul and make me like you. So in so many of our songs, in so many of our books, the qualities of the pure devotee, Tatikshava, Kurunika, he's tolerant, he's patient, he has no ego, he's equal to all living entities, he's friendly, he sees Krishna everywhere and everyone, he's merciful. It's stated in this same the same set of passages by Lord Kapiladev to his mother. One who worships the deity of Godhead in the temples but does not know that the Supreme Lord as Paramatma is situated in every living entity's heart must be in ignorance and is compared to one who throws oblations into the ashes. You know, at a fire sacrifice, we throw grains into the fire. And we say, Swaha, please, I'm offering you myself. But if one worships the deity, but doesn't see the deity in everyone's heart, and thus, if you read Prabhupada's purport there, thus preach and spread Krishna consciousness to everyone with that respect and with that knowledge, then his deity worship is just like throwing oblations into the ashes. There's no use to throw oblations into the ashes. My dear mother, even if he worships with proper rituals and paraphernalia, a person who is ignorant of my presence in every living entity never pleases me by the worship of my deities in the temple. So here the Lord is pushing us for preaching and distributing his message. And in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada says, distribute prasada in mass to everyone. And there's different kinds of prasada too. Parikata and prasada, food. Then, so make me like you are, without any desires or ambitions. So there's so many songs that we sing. We're so, so lucky. We can't even calculate our great fortune in being able to have these songs and to sing them regularly where nothing else is going on in our life and we're absorbed in prayer. Srila Prabhupada once said, yoga means to pray to Krishna. I'm fallen, please save me. That's yoga, that's all. So here we have the expanded version of that in all these beautiful songs. And that's where the power comes from, by the mercy. If I examine myself, I find no good qualities. Your mercy is the essence of all existence. If you are not merciful, then bitterly weeping, I will no longer maintain my life. So with this kind of intensity, Srila Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada have given us these songs, and the song itself teaches us the mood with which to sing the song. That if you don't give me that mercy, but we're not thinking like that. Therefore, Srila Gurudev said, pray not only to the person that you're singing to, but to the person who wrote the song, that please make your song my song. Please give me this feeling that you're writing and singing about. I was very happy as I was again going up and down the stairs, hearing about that the leaders are planning a very nice regular istogosti so that more devotees can participate in the responsibilities of Srila Gurudev's mission. Once he gave a lecture all about being responsible. He said, from the beginning, I took so many responsibilities of my Gurudev, publishing, distributing, printing, managing the deities, the cleaning, everything I took upon my own head. He was giving this lecture in India, and he said, you've come from all over the world to hear my Harikatha, but what responsibility are you taking for my mission? Every one of you should take responsibility. He said, who was that murderer? He was a murderer. Valmiki. He was a murderer. But when he received the order of his Gurudev, Narada, sit down in one place, don't do anything, don't even go to the bathroom. He was so fixed in his Gurudev, this was the mission that his Gurudev gave him, being a murderer, and chant Ram. He said, I can't chant Ram, because he didn't have the Sukritis. So Narada said, okay. Then chant death, Maram, 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 Maram. Gradually he became Ram. So for thousands of years, he followed his Gurudev's instructions. He didn't even go to the bathroom. He sat there, not eating, not drinking, not sleeping, and he just kept chanting. And at the end, even though his body was being eaten up by ants, and there was a big anthill around him, he kept going. And you could see that he kept going means that he had power now. So then at the end, Narada blessed him, Brahma blessed him, that now you will be the author of the Ramayana. And all the pastimes of Lord Ram entered into his heart. And now he's making the whole world weep by his pastimes of the Ramayana. So for establishing, the reason I'm mentioning is this is because I was hearing the conversation about that they want to have regular meetings so that everyone can participate more and can feel more mamata for the temple and for the temple's mission. And we're lucky that we have very lovely leadership here who wants to hear from everybody, who wants to facilitate everybody and engage even guests. I remember back in ISKCON, even guests, they would come and wash pots and preach. And one of my god sisters, Devi Shakti, she would distribute books and then make the people she was distributing books to book distributors, because they would come to that place very often. So gradually they would just start distributing books with her. Immediately, what are your talents? What do you do? Engaging all the senses in Krishna's service, engaging the tongue in speaking and glorifying Krishna, engaging the ear and hearing about Krishna, engaging the legs and doing some service, not only coming to the temple but also carrying out the mission. And those wonderful things. So we're lucky we have very beautiful leadership here. What's a perfect example of beautiful leadership? Lord Vishnu himself. Do you know the story? The demigods and the sages and the heavenly planets were having a meeting. Who is the absolute truth? Is it Brahma, Vishnu, or Shiva? So Bhrigu Muni was elected as the one to find out. So first he went to Lord Brahma, who's his father. And he didn't offer, he committed an apparat with his mind. He didn't offer obeisances with his mind. So Brahma became very angry. Here's my son. I begot him and he's not offering respects. But then finally he controlled his anger. Then he went to Lord Shiva and he committed a verbal offense, saying bad things to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was about to kill him.
He wanted to embrace him. Shiva wanted to embrace
him. Lord Shiva wanted to embrace him, his brother, because they're both sons of Brahma. But what did he say?
Oh no, don't, please don't embrace me. You are so dirty, you know.
Covered by ashes, hang around the crematorium. He was ready to kill him, Lord Shiva. But Parvati, his better half, who is the embodiment of the three modes of nature, evoked his mode of goodness, and he tolerated. He forgave. So then Bhrigu Muni decided, well, let me commit a bodily offense to Lord Vishnu. First was the mind, then the words, then the body. So he went to where Lord Vishnu was lying down on Shesh in the ocean of milk, or Vaikuntha or somewhere. No, I don't think he'd go to Vaikuntha. There's a planet in this universe, which is a Vaikuntha planet in this universe. So Bhrigu Muni went there, and Vishnu was being massaged, his lotus feet were being massaged by Lakshmi. And so Bhrigu Muni walked up to him and kicked him in the chest. So immediately, Lord Vishnu stood up. He could have burnt him with his eyes if he wanted to. But instead, he said, oh, forgive me, I didn't see you coming in. I should have stood up, you're a Brahmana. I should have stood up and welcomed you. And also, double forgive me, because my chest is so hard, and your lotus feet are so soft. So please excuse me for that. So Gurudev gave Lord Vishnu as the example of really good leadership. Srila Gurudev was speaking about leadership. Naimi Maharaj asked him, how can one be a good leader like you, one be a good leader? So Gurudev said, just be like me, broad-minded, generous, equal to all. And then I also thought of this because, again, I was going up and down the stairs and we were talking about meetings. So Gurudev appeared at one meeting. Were you there in 2007? It was the assembly, what do you call that? Advisory meeting. It was about 150 devotees there. All the sannyasis were there, the BBT. No, this one was in Navadvip. They have it every two times a year. But this
was 2008, maybe.
This was 2007 in Navadvip, and Gurudev was there. Did Gurudev come to the one in 2008?
2008, it was also communication thing, but not.
But Gurudev didn't come. So this one he came, and he was listening to Yasodhanandan Prabhu, who was the MC of the meeting. And Yasodhanandan Prabhu was telling him everything. Yeah. Telling him everything that was happening at the meeting. And then Gurudev said, I want everything to be decided, if it can't be decided, by just a leader saying, do something, and then, or what do you think about doing something, and everybody says, great idea. Then, otherwise, by majority vote. And then Gurudev said, don't fear, don't think, only they are controlling. Everyone has the right to express his opinion. So we have such beautiful leadership here that is very smooth. There was one other, this was, forget the year. It's in the 2000 something walks book. when, what year was it, Vasanti? Vasanti here? Scott. When Gokul Prabhu from Australia asked Gurudev, you know, some of us are a little afraid, Gurudev, because we're hearing that you want to start a society, not just, you know, a bunch of individuals who all love you, but an actual structured society. So we're a little nervous about this because we're afraid that if there's some structure, then it'll become just like other institutions that we've been in, with controlling leadership, and dictatorship. He said, even in my Guru Maharaj's mutt, that is Srila Gauravinda Maharaj's mutt, in Bhubaneswar, there's sort of controlling leadership. So we're afraid that if we have a structured society, then it will be like that in your sangha too. So Gurudev said, no, that will never happen in my sangha, because I train all my leaders, all my mud commanders, to be servant of everyone and to consult with anything, to consult with everybody before they decide to do it, anything. So we're lucky we have such beautiful leadership here. So in this song, Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya, just like with all songs, there's so much to think about, so many pastimes to remember about humble devotees willing to give their life for their Gurudev, like Param Gurudev. There was a big Sankirtan during Navadvip, and those who were envious were throwing soda bottles and rocks, and everybody ran for their lives. But nobody thought of protecting Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Somehow they got him, except for Param Gurudev. He took him, grabbed him and took him and brought him to a householder's house right nearby, and took his sannyas cloth and gave him his white cloth, and took his sannyas danda, and walked out, because he looked very much like him, ready to meet the crowds, ready to meet the rocks. But somehow or other, rocks and soda bottles, but somehow or other, the police came and the crowds were quieter. So willing to give my life for my Gurudev. So if I can remember all these histories of great souls who gave their lives as I'm singing. So much to think about in these songs. Any questions or comments? I remember in Badger, Gurudev was saying, he said, I'm saying this to all my preachers and especially to my sannyasis, to be like that avadut that I gave the lecture about. Even he was preaching everywhere. He went back to his own hometown, preaching everywhere. And before he wasn't a very good person. Now he was taking a renounced order and begging, because he's supposed to beg to get humility. So they were, because they remembered him from before, they called him, oh, you bogus sannyasi. And they were throwing ashes in his begging bowl, urinating in it. They grabbed his begging bowl and urinated in it, throwed dirt on his head. But still he happily went through his business. So Gurudev said, even if somebody urinates on you, go on serving my mission. I remember a few days ago when Sripad Tirtha Maharaj was here, and he was speaking about preaching, how he gave the morning class before he was going to leave, and then he, in the class he was talking about everyone giving their full energy for sadhana and for preaching. And so then I went up to his room upstairs here on the second floor. I said, I was so happy to hear that you said that. So he said, yes. Way back when Gurudev was beginning his mutt, there was no, in Mathura, there was nobody coming. So So me, Tirth Maharaj is speaking, me and Bhan Maharaj, we went door to door begging bhiksha. Not that we particularly needed their grains and rice and dal, but to give them Sukritis. Huh? Oh, him and Premananda Prabhu, thank you. Me and Premananda Prabhu went door to door all over Mathura, begging grains, rice, dal, so that they could develop Sukriti, and inviting them. We have a bona fide guru in our temple, please come. And they'd regularly give, and they'd regularly get more and more Sukriti. And then the devotees would go out, and also, what's his name? And Bhan Maharaj also, going and doing house programs at people's houses. Okay, they don't come to the temple. All right, we have a program at your house, and you bring your friends. And we'll bring some prasadam. So in this way, just as Gurudev is serving his Gurudev with his everything, and Srila Prabhupada, with their inner bhajan, and with their mercy towards the universe. So we're praying to Gurudev, please take my soul and make me like you. Gaur Premanandi Hariko. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Any questions or comments? No questions or comments? Taruni?
Maybe you can hear something more.